Geeks. Geeks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everyone. And welcome, everyone, to Metal Geeks episode 39. I am one of your hosts. I am JM Metal Geek.
That's a lot of people to welcome, man.
Well, you know, there's always like three sides to somebody. You know, there's like the sensitive side, there's the angry side, and then there's the like extroverted side. So I figured that I wanted to include everyone.
That's mighty nice of you, man.
I'm here to please.
And my name is Carrie G, the artist formerly known as Evil C.
Evil C.
No. Evil C has grown up, not so evil anymore.
I've been wanting to tell you this.
No.
My wife is now a Whovian.
I've been seeing that, and therefore you are becoming a Whovian.
Kind of. Like, default by proxy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, like, uber into it like she is. Now, don't get me wrong. When it's on, I'm sitting there, like, I'm glued to the TV. But
it looks really pretty.
Yeah.
Doctor Who has a pretty mouse.
I can say that I've seen three different doctors so far. I've seen...
Okay.
Ellickson.
What's his name?
Christopher Ellickson?
Eccleston?
Eccleston, that's it.
Yeah, he was... What else was he in? He was in the G.I. Joe movie. He was Destro.
He was also Malekith.
Yeah.
In Thor the Dark World.
That's right.
Which totally blows me away. You know, totally, completely opposite of one another.
Oh, yeah.
But I've seen David Tennant, whom, I can't lie, man, there was two parts where... When in the season, I think it was season five, he had to separate from Rose.
I don't know, but okay.
Oh man, oh, it was deep. I'm not gonna lie, man. David Tennant made me cry.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm a sensitive geek. And then there was also the end of season five when he had to regenerate.
I have seen that clip where he does regenerate, and that is sad.
Oh, man. He goes around for, like, the last 15 minutes of the season to, like, say bye to everybody.
So how far is your wife into it?
Season 6, episode 2. We finished
season
watching
six,
it.
Season 6, is that still... Who is the doctor, then?
It's actually Matt Smith now.
Matt Smith. Okay. I will be the first to admit that if... Okay, they say everybody has a doctor... And I guess they say everybody's doctor is the first one they ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say mine would probably be Matt Smithson, because that's the first one I ever really paid attention to and watched. I've been promising my wife...
Sorry, my dog's being a dick.
I've been promising my wife that I would watch more and get into it, but...
Well...
And she's sitting next to me now saying, you haven't watched Tenet yet. Well, that's true.
Well,
I haven't.
You know, well, the thing, I think that a lot of people, well, I can't speak for all Whovians because I am totally not a Whovian. I mean, I like it, but my wife is definitely a Whovian now. And I can say from watching her, the one doctor that everybody saw the most of was David Tennant. So mm-hmm. You got a lot more familiar, you know, with that doctor because I think the first one, I think he was only there for one season.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, David Tennant was there for like one or – he was there for like two, maybe three?
I think it would – in my opinion, I think what it was is, you know, when they brought Doctor Who back after all those years, they brought Eccleston back and he did that one season. And then David Tennant came on and that's when people started really, oh, okay, this is actually cool. This is Doctor Who again.
Right.
And that's where it really started picking up for in popularity, you know?
Yeah. Now, right now we're on – she's on episode three. She's going to be starting episode three here this weekend, I'm sure.
Are you watching every single one with her?
No. No, I don't have that kind of a time.
I know.
Especially, I mean, she doesn't either, but with her job. But, you know, now that, you know, we're doing a lot of different things at the site, you know, I'm spending a lot of time dealing with all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So she's – we watched
– don't jump the gun on that. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. We watched one yesterday, which was the second – episode of season six, and I think it was like the first adventure he did with the redhead girl, Amy Pond,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty cool. She's,
I like her. She's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, Nebula. That's who she's going to be.
Yeah, Nebula.
Yep.
Which my hype meter for that movie right now is at an all-time high
for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah. I am so psyched for that movie.
Yeah.
You know, the hype machine, I usually don't get behind it, but I've been sucked into it this time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I try to distance myself from that stuff because I always feel like shit breaks my heart, you know, if it sucks. It's mm-hmm. like right now, the Amazing Spider-Man was just rebooted today, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too off track on it, but
that's what we do. We sort of go all around,
yeah.
and always come back.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where I'm trying to not get too attached to it because, you know, first of all, I'm sick of Dan Slott. I think I've been saying that for the last couple of podcasts, but he's still.
Yeah, I wanted to touch upon that because yeah. To figure out what was going on, everybody's talking about the end of the Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I jumped back about maybe five issues.
Right.
To beginning of the new Spider Island, whatever, when the Green Goblins took everything over and all that.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about that later, man.
Okay.
Because, yeah, that's all I can say about that.
Well, to finish up on the Doctor Who topic, well, I think that with David Tennant, he and Rose were like, they were the group, you know, they were the greatest team up.
What about Rory?
I don't even remember who Rory is.
Rory is Amy Pond's husband, boyfriend.
Oh. Well, I mean, I was going to get to Matt Smith. I think that Matt Smith and Amy Pond,
mm-hmm.
fantastic. I think that they're dynamic yeah. together on the show. Because the type of doctor he is, I think they're a fantastic team up.
If you listen to a couple episodes ago when we had Larry Roberts from November's Doom on, and we really talked about a lot of Doctor Who, and I think he said it best is that the Matt Smith version of Doctor Who, the Doctor, is childlike in so many ways. He did a really great job of playing that version of the character.
Which is very curious, too, because what was his first interaction with a human was with a child, Amy Pond, mm. as a child, you know? So it's very interesting.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, and I know the one thing that...
Look at you getting all deep and philosophical on this shit.
I can't help it. Every time I watch it, I see something beautiful. And... other than Amy Pond.
Sometimes not, right, yeah. And sometimes it's not the special effects, because they can be pretty cheesy at times.
Right. Now, I think that there was some... I think that I really like the Matt Smith Doctor, because he is kind of childlike, he's adventurous, But what he reminds me of is like a person who's like, you know what, science, I'm fucking just winging it. I'm gonna enjoy life, and there's no thinking. You know, it's this is my thought, impulsive. You know, I like that about him, because that's like a kooky doctor. You know.
Yeah.
I think of like Dr. House. You know, when I think about him.
Yeah, I never really watched that show.
Really?
No, not really.
I wasn't religious about it, but I watched some of it. But I mean, I guess.
But you're not religious about anything. Right?
I see what you did there. did you ever see The Mentalist?
I maybe bits and pieces. Actually, when we were in LA last year, we were when we saw Conan on the Warner Brothers lot. We actually saw the cast members from The Mentalist walking around right after they shot something.
Oh, okay.
And we saw, it was funny, there was two guys were covered in blood hanging out right outside the step for the building for The Mentalist, and covered in blood, and they're just taking a cigarette break.
That's too funny.
It was like something you see out of, like, you know, the James and Bob movie, or it's like, yeah. It's pretty funny.
Well, I guess maybe one person I can say that he kind of reminds me of that you would get would be Jimmy Fallon. You know, just randomly has a lot of good damn fun. You know,
Jimmy Fallon is definitely very childlike.
Yeah,
but so, that's probably why I like him so much.
Yeah, I mean it's fun. I mean, shit,
he loves everything. if you're on the show, he loves you.
Yeah, it's fucking
that,
cool.
That sort of gets annoying, but
yeah. Well, I have no idea what the 12th Doctor. I've never seen any shows with him on it yet.
Me either.
But I'm pretty sure that it won't be very long before that happens, because my wife's been going through that shit like fucking candy.
Are you watching it all through Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah. Binge watching is the best way to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I think today, when I got home, when she got home, actually, it's the first time I really beat her home in months. We sat down and watched Lilo and Stitch. We were going to watch Doctor Who, and I was like, you know what, let's just finish watching Lilo and Stitch.
That's very far away from Doctor Who.
I know, isn't it? It's very random.
So let's before we move on to any major topics of the evening, which we really don't have any, we're just sort of winging it tonight. We're just going to let it play loose, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, we were initially getting on to do a podcast with, I don't know their names, because I haven't been introduced to them yet, but... Gary, you can introduce them.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Yeah. Next episode will be recorded very soon. We have two special guests. One, his name is Philip Swift. He's a filmmaker. And the other guy, his name is Leonard Kinsey. He's an author. And he wrote a very strange book. It's called The Dark Side of Disney. It's the anarchist cookbook of Disney travel guides. The cover of the book has a girl... covered in tattoos, wearing just a pair of really short shorts, and that's about it.
That's funny.
And a Disney hat with an anarchist logo on it. It's a really fun book to read through. He cusses a lot, and it's the book I would have written about being a Disney fan. And it's inspired me to want to write an article for the website of how you can still be a metalhead and be a Disney fan at the same time.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the most interesting things about people who are artistic and have visions. They can actually, they deliver it.
Yes.
I think it's pretty cool that they're actually able to create a book like that for adults like us. You know,
yes, exactly. It's not for kids. Keep your kids away from it.
Well, you know, and also you got to remember too that I'm pretty sure that the vision that Walt Disney has had for Disney was not exactly what Disney's doing right now. So he probably wanted something probably a little bit more adult related, like Epcot. That was supposed to be a city, and then turning into a theme park. You know, so
right.
Where I'm going with that is.
Are you talking about this? Are you talking about Celebration?
Celebration.
Celebration, Florida?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the Epcot was supposed to be like a
right,
a real
okay,
city.
I know. Right, yeah. Which, you know, they did, that's what sort of a celebration Florida came out of, because Disney, you know, started the city, it was like in, I guess in the 80s?
Yeah.
Or, no, it was like early 90s, and it was supposed to be like, you know, the old Main Street and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Got sold out. Actually, the guest that we're going to have on, Philip Swift, actually produced a documentary called The Bubble, which is all about Celebration Florida.
Oh, interesting.
And it's a very cool, you know, about an hour long documentary about living in what they called the bubble. And it's not owned by Disney anymore. It got sold off to a company, like a management company. So it's not quite as Disney anymore, but it's a very interesting movie, and it's really cool. And I'm looking forward to what they can do with this dark side of Disney, you know?
Right. I totally was not even familiar with any of this until you brought it to my attention, and I'm kind of glad that it's kind of been delayed a little bit. Maybe I'll be able to browse through the book before the
yeah browse
show.
Through the book, man, and then, you know, watch the documentary. We have you know, access to it, and it's only about an hour long, so it's not going to take up too much of your time.
Right. Well,
it's pretty cool.
Well,
so we will have both those guys on for the next episode.
And maybe it'll help some of the listeners actually prepare for it as well if they go on to Kickstarter and buy it.
Right. You can go to Kickstarter.com, look for The Dark Side of Disney, a documentary film. Look it up. Watch. They have a little two-minute trailer for it, teaser. They talk about what they're going for. And it's, if you're a Disney fan and you know, you're a little bit different like we are, it's something right up your alley.
Right on.
So, let's let everybody, let's do a little house cleaning before we move on to any topics.
You got it. Let's do it.
So, first of all, you can find us on all of the interwebs at www.metalgeekspodcast.com. And coming soon, we will have a brand new website. Can't give the address out quite yet because we're still working on it on the back end, but it should be live pretty soon.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of the similar words, but a lot of different words. Does that make sense? Probably not. Okay, good.
Yes.
I'm glad I succeeded.
No, yes. Yes, no? We're working on graphics right now and getting all of our old content up, and we plan to be utilizing it a lot. We already have a bunch of great writers that have been writing for us already and a bunch of writers that we have on board that they've all been guests before on the show.
Yeah, which is really fucking cool. And mentioning before that, we also have some writers that are doing stuff now. Hamid from England, he's been doing some reviews, comic book reviews. And Simon, who's a really good friend out in California.
Our old buddy and friend of the show, Simon, he's been a big supporter for a long time, and
yeah.
I'm glad we were able to bring him on board.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's been writing some great comic book reviews.
Yep.
We have a buddy of mine, RD, who's been doing some comic reviews. He's going to do some video game stuff for us. And we have lots of cool stuff down the pike, man. It's just getting it the back end of it working.
Yeah, well, we just got to feed it some beans.
That's right.
That'll get the back end working.
Get that. Let's make it. Maybe we should just make the website go eat at Taco Bell.
Maybe that's who we need to get to sponsor us. It's Taco Bell.
Because Taco Bell, their meat is only like, I saw some article today, it's only 88% real beef or real meat.
That's creepy, man.
I don't even want to know what the other 12% is.
Plastic, you know.
Wormed, maybe.
Possibly.
Like McDonald's.
But worms aren't so bad for you.
They have a lot of extra protein.
Yeah. It's just kind of weird, like if you bite into them and they have dirt inside of them still, it's kind of gross.
Yeah. Yeah, that gritty, yeah. If they're covered in chocolate, they're okay.
Well,
so
from that segue, we're going to be doing a lot of awesome things with the site. Eventually, there's going to be a lot more things introduced to the site. We're going to have some merchandise and et cetera, et cetera.
Indeed. So, and if you ever thought about writing a review or an article, if you want to come write something for us, we'll take a look at it, and you know, you might be able to get published on our website, man.
Or if you're an artist, like maybe they can draw something, you know.
We have some cool artwork coming very, very soon as well,
oh, man.
Which I'm excited for.
Yeah, I can't wait for us to have them up there. I want to release mine now.
Yeah, let's wait a little bit. So besides the website, which we will announce very, very soon, my goal, and I think you agree with me, is we want to have it up before Comicpalooza.
Yeah.
To get the basic, version of it out there.
It's about 4 weeks away now, so yep. I think it's doable.
And speaking of Comicpalooza, look at that segue.
Oh, that's pretty good.
We are still official sponsors of Comicpalooza, so if you go to comicpalooza.com, you can look for them on Facebook at Houston Comicpalooza, Instagram, Houston Comicpalooza, Tumblr now, Houston Comicpalooza. Speaking of, we will have a Tumblr design for Metal Geeks podcast soon.
Nice.
And that's the one thing I want to mention on the website is it's not only for the podcast.
Yeah.
The website is going to be Metal Geeks. So it's going to encompass both podcasts, Metal Geeks podcast and MSRcast, the metal portion and our geeky portion. But we're going to be doing, heavy metal stuff, comic book stuff, theme parks, toys, movies. We're going to have our blog, reviews, and just lots of geekery coming, man.
Yeah. And we're going to have some special guest bloggers like you were mentioning. I don't know, should we announce who they are? Or
We can say one of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, first of all, we just mentioned him earlier in the show. We're going to have Larry Roberts from November's Doom as one of our guest bloggers and reviewers.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited for that, man.
That'll be interesting, especially so many different ideas to do with that. Because, I guess we can talk to him and we can discuss it in private, but there's just so many different things that just dawn on me. It's like, oh, man. Because I don't know, I'm pretty sure the road gets really boring.
Yeah, I mean, and we're giving these guys pretty much free rein to write what they want. I mean, yeah. we don't want to hold anybody back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's free speech, it's a free internet, you can say whatever the fuck you want. So
right. And
we're going to post it.
I've been saying this multiple times, and I haven't really got much, feedback from it, because, I don't know, I guess when you're really assertive on certain things, some people are just like, whoa. I didn't realize it was that serious. I mean, I'm a very passionate guy, and I'm very, very straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're banned, just because you know me doesn't mean I'm going to fucking support your band. If you suck, I'm not going to support you. So that's the bottom line. Carrie is not the same way. Carrie is not, I'm not saying that he is like, sitting there saying, well, just because I know you, I'm going to support your band. He doesn't feel the same passion, or not even passion, but angst, I suppose, against that.
I guess I'm too nice of a guy.
You are a nice guy. Yeah.
Fuck that. I don't want to be a nice guy.
No. I mean, you have friends. So, I mean, I'm pretty much a loner, and nobody wants to deal with me. So I'm the grumpy old guy with a snow shovel and a fucking trash can lid. I'm that angry guy, but I mean, and just to be honest, I mean, it's just like how Ralph Garman rails on Kanye West. He's not friends with him. He doesn't fucking like him, sucks. So if you suck, if you're an asshole, you're going to be an asshole. So there's no sugarcoating from me.
No, sir. Not at all. Not even a little bit of sugar.
No. Stevia, maybe.
So, a little bit back to Comicpalooza before we move on. If you would like to go to Comicpalooza, if you're going to be in Houston May 23rd through 26th, and let's say you're a fan of Doctor Who, because we're going to have about four different doctors, and John Barrowman is also going to be there, you can go to the website, comicpalooza.com/register, and when you purchase your four-day ticket, put in the code MetalGeek, and you will save $5 off your price. And get this, man. A four-day pass for Comicpalooza right now is $55 for 4 days.
That's sick.
That is a crazy amount. We have five members of the cast from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., from Marvel.
That's so awesome.
We have fucking
Ranko. I'm kind of glad. I'm not glad I'm not going to be there, but I probably would say something really, unintentional to them. I'd be like, so you're a fan of the show? Not really. I would be that guy.
And if you're a comic nerd, we have names like Jim Steranko is going to be there. Roy Thomas, one of the original editors from Marvel, will be there.
Oh, isn't he the guy that owns some burger joints?
No, well, I don't think so.
Dave Thomas. Wendy.
That's Dave Thomas. He's gone there.
I'm hungry, man.
Arsa Sudam, Mike Mignola, who I could not be more excited to meet.
Yeah, that's kind of like one of your top, like top five people in the comic book world.
Indeed.
That's kind of a super huge, huge fucking feeling, you know?
I'm super excited to meet him. I definitely want to save up some monies and get something, you know, get him to do something custom for me.
You know, before you dish out the money to him, ask him something. And this is something else that you guys out in the listener spectrum can try to understand. I met an artist at the Tampa Bay Comic Con. Now, if you get a good repertoire with these people,
mm-hmm.
they will work good for you. Like if you give them, like you say, look, I'd like to have a commission done, but I don't want it to be just a sketch. You know, I want something, you know, because what they do with the cons is, you know, they get money from doing quick mm-hmm. sketches and plus they're pressed on time.
Right.
Build up a repertoire with them, get their contact information, their, you know, Facebook or whatever, and see if they'll do something along the lines of more detailed. Because I met a comic book artist here. In fact, I should just say his name. Pat Broderick. He used to do Doom 2099.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's a local guy here. And he, you know, I was at the con. I was like, you know, I live in the area. And actually, he said to me, I told him that I loved the comic book cover that he had. It totally brought me back to like 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got that
style.
Yeah, and the hologram type foil cover, you know?
Yeah.
And
which was the cause of the demise of the comic industry for a while, but we won't go there right now.
Well, the wonderful thing about it was he said to me, you know, here, you know, I'll sign this for you. Just, you know, if you want to come over to a school sometime, you know, just sit down and have chat, whatever. You know, not even anything about the podcast, just to talk. You know, it was it's cool. And, you know, he was very, very genuine, and he was like, you know, since you're in the area, you know, I can do a commission. I'm like, okay. So
if you're nice to these guys and respectful of what they do and not just like fangirl out on them, they'll respect you and they'll be nice to you.
And well, let me make this very clear. Don't go up to Pat Broderick and say, JM Metal Geek said this. Don't do that, because I'll find you and I'll put my finger in your butt or something and tell you how much you suck. I don't know. I won't go that far, but
pick you up like a six pack.
Yeah. No, I don't want to hurt anybody, but I mean, I will. No, I'm just kidding. No, I
don't want to.
Yeah, no.
But I might.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, just don't go up there and try to fucking say that John Michael said it's okay for him to say this. You know, John Michael said you would do this for him. You know, I'm not telling you guys to do that. I'm telling you, be respectful. Go up to him. Don't act like a dumbass. You know, how many dumbasses they probably talk to in a fucking day? Don't be that dumbass. And, you know, just say, I really respect your work, and ask them if they do long-distance commissions, and they probably do.
You know, I have a question for you, sir.
What's up?
Have you bought any Funko Pops recently?
I have, actually. I've got the, I have never seen the movie, but I have Captain America Glows in the Dark Hot Topic exclusive.
I actually have the black and white Barnes & Noble version of that.
Nice.
So maybe if we put them together, nothing will happen? Their
powers combined, they would turn purple and shine?
Well, exactly. So if I was looking to buy like a new Funko Pop, where could I go?
Oh, wow, I really didn't buy in that segue until just now. you can go on to www.thevinyldead.com.
And if I wanted to, you know, use my Jew powers and save some money here, what could I do?
Well, you could spin around like a dreidel and then type in your code as fast as you can, Metal Geeks 10. Or is it Metal Geeks 10?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. Wasn't sure if it was just like Metal 10. I was like, man, that didn't make any sense.
Yep, the code is MetalGeeks10. Put that in when you make your purchase on thevinyldead.com, and you will save 10%. And 10% is a good chunk of change, especially when you're buying a couple. That's your shipping right there, man.
Yeah. In fact, that's what happened to me. I bought three and pretty much made it free shipping.
And you know what series that just came out? I actually saw some of these in the store the other day. Is the Ghostbusters are out.
Oh, they have them up on the site now, huh?
Well, I'm not sure if they have them quite yet, but I saw them in a local store.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that the guys at the Vinyl Dead normally bulk together a series, which is very cool because a lot of people, they miss out on that. You know, sometimes they'll, you know, the whole hunt of it, sometimes people are a little bit faster than you, and you have to pay a lot more money for it. And to be honest, there are some dicks out there that just buy the shit and then flip it on the internet just to do it.
Yep.
You know, and it sucks.
The thrill of the hunt is sort of the fun part, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. But if you didn't want to have that thrill of the hunt and you just wanted to get that, you can buy entire series of, like, Captain America ones. You've got, I think it was Assassin's Creed they have on there. A whole bunch of different kinds, you know. And I'm pretty sure they're going to have the Ghostbusters as well.
So speaking of Thrill of the Hunt, guess what I found over the weekend?
What's that?
So here's a little story, not about Jack and Diane at all. But we went to...
Sorry if you heard that. I've been fighting a cold here, guys. So if you hear me breathing heavy or trying to...
Don't be breathing heavy when you're talking to me, man.
I can only breathe out of my mouth, so I'm like, you know, I don't want to make you guys think I'm doing anything over here other than trying to breathe.
Right. So over the weekend, you know, my wife and I went out to this local, I guess, you know, like an outlet mall type of place. It was about half an hour away. We'd never been there before. There is a Disney Store outlet out there.
Oh, right.
Which surprised me is, okay, this is the whole time when I was in Disneyland last year, I was looking for an old school looking Disneyland t-shirt.
Right.
Could not find one for days. And I finally just gave up. And okay, it's not going to happen. I can't find one. Well, they had a bunch of Disneyland merchandise at this Disney outlet store, Disney Store outlet, not even, you know, Disneyland outlet.
Right.
Here outside of Houston. And I got a badass Disneyland Resort t-shirt, which excited the hell out of me.
Well, that's cool.
And not enough to make me breathe heavy or anything, but... and I also found a Marvel Legends Archangel.
Now, I remember when you sent that picture to me.
Yeah.
And, oh, man. As soon as you sent it, I was like, holy shit, he just found a gold mine right there.
It was like $10, man.
Well, you definitely... That's a part of the hunt that is successful, but you know what? You weren't looking for him.
No,
you know?
I was not.
Yeah, but in the cases of people going out there looking for Marvel Legends, like, in fact, I went to two different Targets today to find some Marvel Universe figures.
Okay.
But, you know.
What were you looking for?
Nothing in particular, just to see if they're out for a while. They normally keep the old shit out on the stock floor.
Right.
Which pisses me off because I know that they have one of those really rare ones in the back, but they just haven't put it out yet. So, anyways, they have, I can't remember what series they're on now. They have different waves as they do with the Marvel Universe ones, but...
Aren't they a little bit, don't they have a new version of the Marvel Universe figures now?
Yeah, completely different packaging, too.
Yeah, but it's Marvel something.
Well, the one that you have, that you picked up of the Archangel...
The
Marvel Legends. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a similar one now. It's called Marvel Legends Infinite.
Infinite, that's what it is.
Yeah. And I actually like the packaging quite a bit. But with the Marvel Universe
3.75 inches, yeah.
They just released a new wave of those figures. And that's what I was going to go look for, because I've been redecorating my cave here, my geek grotto, and I have some...
You should post a picture of that on the website, then.
Yeah, I will. You know, now that you mention that. But I'm trying to get, like, my favorite ones, to have up on the wall there, you know, only because I'm a man child and I got to have that stuff.
You know, it's weird. Okay, I think we've talked about this on the show before. As we're talking about this, I'm looking at some of the Marvel Universe figures on the interweb.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one here for, the character's Cloak and Dagger.
Yes.
Okay, well, they look like Marvel Universe put out a Cloak figure.
Okay.
They have Cloak and Dagger on the cover, on the box art and everything, but it doesn't say Cloak in the name. It says Marvel Knight.
Isn't that weird?
Why don't they have the rights to use their own character names? What is going on there?
Well, that's capitalism, my friend.
I've always been wondering that, because, like, you see, like, even, like, the new Spider-Man figures, you'll see, like, Baron Zemo.
Yeah,
It doesn't say Baron Zemo on it, or
it
the Red Skull. It says Agent of Hydra,
Agent of AIM. Yep.
Like, what is going on? They can't use their own character names, but...
Yeah, I saw the Baron's figure today.
Yeah.
I was going to get it, but I haven't seen the movie yet, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if the movie's good or not, so... Just kidding. I know the movie's doing well. But,
Which movie are you speaking of?
Captain America 2.
Oh, yeah.
The one that I haven't seen yet that everybody else in the world apparently has.
Everybody in the world, and I wanted to talk to you about it, but we have to wait.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think you're planning to see Spider-Man...
Yep.
So by the next time we're ready to record an episode, we can talk about both movies, I think.
I hope so. Because, I mean, it's not that I don't want to go see it. I've just been very, very busy. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you there.
But the, let's see, I'm trying to find this new wave. Let me see if I can find a link. Maybe we'll talk about something else in the meantime.
New wave of British heavy metal?
That'd be kind of
speaking fun. Speaking of heavy metal, listen to this segue. The night before our anniversary, which was two nights ago, we went to a heavy metal concert.
Really?
I went to the opening band with Revamp, and then it was Sabaton, and then Iced Motherfucking Earth. Now, I can give you a quick review. I'm thinking about doing a write-up for the website, but... I actually had a brand new lens that I brought with me, and I was actually taking pictures, and it was so crowded at this club. If you live in Houston, if you've been to the Scout Bar, it was what I call nut the butt. You couldn't walk anywhere.
hey, that's a Disney ride line if you don't have a fast pass.
Yeah, exactly. And if usually they have like the barrier before the stage, it's called, you know, the photo pit where you can go in there with your camera.
Right.
But they had the photo pit, you know, the barrier so close to the stage, I barely was able to get into it. And I've lost a lot of weight, so I can't imagine before, but...
Right.
So I got pictures of all three bands. I got some good shots, but, you know, being that close, it's like... I have a picture of Stu Block's, like, leg. Because he had this really cool... I'm going to have to post that picture. It's actually pretty cool. He had, these Frankenstein-looking things on his, like patches on it on his pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's how close I was to these guys when they were playing, but...
That's nuts. no pun intended.
pretty close to that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
but Revamp was cool. If you don't know who they are, it's Floor Jansen, who used to be After Forever, and I guess now is in Nightwish. So... they're not my favorite. I like her voice. She's one of my favorite vocalists, but the music doesn't really do that much for me. Then Sabaton stormed the stage, and when I mean stormed the stage, man, they took over that club. I've seen them headline, and I've seen them open up for, like, Accept before.
Right.
Every time they play, they demand your attention. They are that good of a band. And they are one of the best live bands I've ever seen, right behind Iron Maiden.
Really?
Oh, God. Hell, I mean, if you are a fan of Sabaton at all and you've never seen them live, you are doing yourself a disservice. Go see them on this tour.
I just missed them. They were here last weekend.
That leads to my next problem. Iced Earth is a great fucking band. They're on point when they're live. But I don't know what it was that night, man. I wasn't that into them. I don't know if it was like they... After I just dropped... I'm so mad I dropped my
microphone. You're like, fuck this, I'm done.
I don't know what it is, dude. I mean, if it was them coming on after Sabaton and how psyched up the place was for them, and then they come on and they just play. I mean, they play well.
Yeah.
They just play, you know what I mean? And from where we were standing towards the back, because after I took my pictures, I came back to meet my wife, and we were sort of back of the club near the bar and all that, mm-hmm. and the bass and the kick drums was so loud in the mix, it was really overpowering everything.
It's weird how they do that. I hate when sound people do this shit.
Yeah, and, you know, they played a lot of songs off the new album, which, I mean, I like the new album that came out, The Plagues of Babylon. It's just not my favorite Iced Earth.
Yeah. I think he actually hits better ranges and all in this album, I think.
Yeah. It's just the songs are... There's a couple of really great songs, and they did play some of them, but overall the album just not as memorable.
Yeah. I can understand that.
And it led to a not as a memorable show for me. The last time I saw them was Symphony X. It was fucking amazing, you know?
Right.
Now, I sort of felt like they were just going through the motion on this tour. I don't know what it was.
Maybe there's something going on. Maybe Stu has some sort of a blockage.
Ah, I see what you did there. Okay, thank you for tuning in, everybody. The show is over now.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Go fuck yourself.
But, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, a bad night seeing Iced Earth is better than having to be at work or seeing a crappy band. Oh, so.
Absolutely.
I'd rather see a bad performance of Iced Earth than 50 other bands I don't even want to mention, like Mother May I or all the bands that they have at Hot Topic.
You know what? You actually kind of made me have to say something, because I've been listening to the Ronnie James Dio tribute, like, nonstop.
Yes, sir. It's actually damn good.
It is. It is really, really fucking good. Now, no, excuse me.
Bless you.
I got to get a drink of water. Hold on a second.
So, as you're getting a drink of water, I'm looking at the links you just sent me for these Marvel Infinite action figures. Same size as the other ones, but... They're really pulling characters out. That's sort of cool.
Yeah. Didn't you like that? The
Omega Red?
That was,
come on.
I like that. I liked the Ant-Man and then the small Ant-Man.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Yeah, there is a small Ant-Man that comes with the other Ant-Man.
And look at the Deathlok. He looks pretty badass.
Yeah.
And that,
better than he does on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we won't go there around this episode.
Yeah, no opinions. No opinions, sir. I think that the Yellow Jacket, I mean, if you look at the Wasp that I sent you,
yeah,
they've got a small Wasp there too, which is cool, because you can actually shrink them if you're a kid going to be playing with them.
Okay, so...
Or a big man child like myself.
Right, I see Red She-Hulk.
Yep.
I see Beta Ray Bill.
Yep.
They've had that character before.
Yeah.
Different
sculpt, I think, though.
Maybe. Who is that right above that, T-Rex, or...
Let me see here.
Deathhead, that's who it is.
Oh yeah.
And they made a figure out of Whirlwind. That's
weird,
really,
isn't it?
That's an obscure character.
I like that though. They're testing boundaries.
Yeah.
I mean, and, that's kind of the reason I do Funko Pops.
Grim Reaper, come on, that's awesome.
Right.
So I mean, they got some cool stuff coming out. It's just, you know.
I like the Yellow Jacket.
Cool, man. So as we speak about Marvel, let's go back to that conversation about the Dan Slott era of Spider-Man.
Hold on a second. What was I talking about before I started losing my voice here? We were talking about...
How cool I really am?
Yeah, you know that guy Kerry G from Metal Geeks? That guy's so fucking cool.
Man, I wish I could sleep with that guy every night. Wait a minute.
Whoa. Yeah.
Whoa, that came out wrong.
That would have been even funnier if you said, I wish that I could sleep with that guy and then touch his hip.
Why would I want to touch his hip?
I don't know. It just came out.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
That was very strange. You took it to a weird level.
Sorry. Man. You know, it's no turning back now. I want you.
Hey.
No. No, I...
That reminds me of my favorite ride at Disney, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, right.
There's no turning back now.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, I had to get that out.
It's okay. That was the the Ronnie James Dio tribute.
That's right. We were talking about that. See, I told you, everyone, this episode is going to be all over the fucking place.
That's what we do. But I've been listening to it nonstop. I think you actually introduced it to me. I had no idea it was even out, which is kind of scary because being involved with metal music, you think something that important should not have gone over my my radar. But what was that? Hailstorm. Yeah, they're actually, that track there is probably my favorite next to Tenacious D's Last in Line.
Is it really?
Yes.
You know, okay, so as I go on to Spotify to pull it up, it's funny because, you know, on the side it tells you who's listening to what.
Yeah.
I follow the band Prong right now, right?
Right.
Guess who they're listening to right now?
Same thing?
They're listening to Prong.
No way.
Yes way.
That's creepy. I'm like,
it's a little weird. But speaking of Hailstorm, okay, I've listened to them, you know, through here, and I'm not a huge fan of their music, their originals, right? But these girl, this girl in her band, I guess her Lizzie Hailstorm, I guess her name is.
I have no idea, but
Lizzie. She, dude, okay, so they put out a couple of tribute albums already on their career.
Didn't know.
And
that.
Yeah, go listen to it on Spotify. They do everything from Dissonant Aggressor. They do AC/DC, Shoot to Thrill, Hell Is for Children, Goldust Woman. Let's see. I'm looking for the other stuff that they've done. Here you go. This one album that came out in 2001 called Reanimate. They did Slave to the Grind.
Okay, that's
Skid Row. They did Lady Gaga, Bad Romance.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Yep. They did Hunger Strike from Temple of the Dog.
Very interesting.
They did Guns N' Roses, Out to Get Me.
I want to hear that because she's got a hell of a range.
They did All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You.
Well, I've always known that, Carrie.
And I know. And I just want to touch your hip. And then the last song on there is I Want You, She's So Heavy. The fucking Beatles, dude. Come on.
Right.
I mean, I'll be the first to say I do not like their original stuff, but I find myself going back to their covers a lot. So I totally get what you mean about their, you know, the Dio cover they did.
Yeah, man. I was absolutely blown away by it. The first thing I thought of when I heard her voice was, holy shit, this bitch is powerful. Like, you know, she had this whole, what do you call it, a Pat Benatar style to me. And
She has a powerful range of vocals.
Absolutely. And I was like wow.
Like she's commanding, like Joan Jett, like you said, Pat Benatar, not the, you know, the cheesy, you know, lover's lament shit, you know?
Yeah. Not by any means. She's got a very
girl power.
Yeah,
she's got with GRRRL.
Yeah,
girl power.
But she fucking nailed it, man. I think Dio would have been proud of her.
Oh yeah.
But that song, and of course, Last in Line. I fucking love that song. The recorder solo is fucking fantastic. It sounds like flutes, but I think they're recorders actually.
She's pretty awesome, dude. Yeah, it's like that's what I saw the very first time I heard that song. I'm like, is that a fucking recorder?
Yeah.
I still have mine somewhere in my house.
Really?
Somewhere.
That's crazy.
I did that back in, like, elementary school, man.
I do it all the time.
See, we're not going to go there.
Oh.
But I bet you, let's do a weird segue. Let's just say Dan Slott.
Okay, that jerk.
Let's move on to that.
Okay.
So, as I said earlier, as your recommendation, I wanted to catch up on what was going on with the Superior Spider-Man, because I knew Peter Parker was coming back.
Yes.
So I was trying to catch up right before that happened, which I did. He's a weird writer.
Were you underwhelmed, sir? Because I think that about 99.9% of the people who listened or read the last five issues of Superior Spider-Man have been underwhelmed.
Okay, so we might be going into a little spoilery level here.
I love it.
Okay, so The last issue where Doc Ock relinquishes the body of Peter Parker was lackluster. I was like, that was it?
Yeah.
What? What? It was like, one panel. It was just like, oh, I'm done.
Right.
Really? What the fuck, dude? All that build up, 31, was it 31 issues, to saying, oh, yeah, Peter Parker's better than me. Okay, yeah, whatever. Goodbye.
It, right?
What the hell?
Man, I have so many opinions about this, and, you know, I don't want to get too deep into a fucking soapbox, but I got to tell you, man, okay, I absolutely 100% supported the idea of Superior Spider-Man. I was 100% on board when everybody else was like...
I was in the beginning, too. I read the first couple issues.
Yeah.
That's where I fell off.
Well, he was very spot on. I was like, okay, this guy's got it. He's been doing Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man for the last 200 issues, something like that. And, you know, I think it's like actually with the last Superior and the new Amazing Spider-Man 1, I think it's 152 issues. Yeah, that's a hell of a run. And, you know, I was absolutely on board with it. And what I started realizing, like, I don't know if it's because I was a novice coming into it or what, but
mm-hmm. I've always been a huge Spider-Man nerd.
I like that, dude. Sorry. Something completely different. I spoke out loud. I should not have. I dig the detail in the belt. Just, you know, the strap. I have to, I like that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Very subtle, and I like it.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sorry. You guys will find out soon.
It's a Deadpool Jedi.
Yes. It's fucking cool. But I was totally cool with it, and I thought that everybody was kind of like giving the guy a hard time. And now I realized, like, after the last year of paying attention to Superior Spider-Man and the media attention that Dan Slott's been getting from all of this, I don't want to personally attack him, okay?
No.
But
no, we're not here to do that.
Yeah. But what I can get from his writing, he was very sour that he had to end the run. Very sour.
Hmm.
And it's almost to the point where he wrote it so cleverly that he won't get shit canned because, you know, he did what he had to do. They're selling copies. He's able to do what he needs to do, make a point by being, you know, delivering with a lackluster, anticlimactic piece of fucking shit and, you know, still continue on to be the writer for Spider-Man.
Is it so? Yeah, he's the new, okay, there's a new Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 1 just came out this week.
Yeah.
Which I do not like the cover. He looks horrible.
It's very Magna, I think that's what you call it.
Manga,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
I don't like it. I don't like that style of art, period.
Who did the cover? I mean, Humberto Ramos did the pencils, and he's always been a great artist.
He actually did very well with the entire...
So I don't think that was his cover.
Might not have been. It might have been Joe Quesada. No, but...
Okay, before we go, there. Speaking of Marvel and Joe Quesada,
you can call him Quesada, because I'm hungry.
I watched this morning, there was a press conference for Disney Infinity.
Really?
They rented out the Cinerama. They were there's a big Marvel reveal that they've teased at. We'll go back to the Spider-Man thing in a minute, but it was a pretty cool press conference in the beginning. They were like, oh, well, here's how many units we sold. It was very E3, you know, we're patting our own backs type of shit. But
right. They
had Clark Gregg come out and introduce, like, the trailer and all this kind of stuff. They had Brian Michael Bendis there, and they had Joe Quesada on stage, all introducing, like, showing off the new Disney Infinity Marvel set. And what I like about the set, which is coming out in the fall, number one. Number two, It's is going to have PS4 and Xbox One versions of it, which they haven't announced before. Number three, the Marvel version of it, it looks freaking amazing. And number four or five, well, I don't know where, I forgot where I was at.
It's okay.
They, all the stuff, if you bought Disney Infinity before, all the characters you bought, all the playsets you bought, all the, you know, all the shit that you bought when you got into it will work on the new version.
Really?
Your save games will work, everything is going to work. All the, you know, the custom levels you've built, everything's going to seamlessly work into the new version. Even if you buy say you played it on the 360 like me, and you buy the Xbox One version.
Right.
It's all a USB plug. So you plug in that stand, the base, everything's going to work the same as it was before. And I'm excited for that. It's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That is cool.
And some of the characters they showed today off, you know, the first round of Marvel stuff they talked about is just going to be Avengers. So you had the Hulk, and they showed Black Widow, Captain America, Iron Man, Hawkeye, you know, the big, you know, Marvel Cinema Universe Avengers type of stuff.
Right. Okay. I got
it. But then they showed a little, like, sneaks in there. They showed Rocket Raccoon and Groot was in there. I saw Loki is going to be one of the bad guys with MODOK, which was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool.
So, and they're taking it to a different level, because before it was sort of it was a cool game, but the gameplay wasn't really there. So with the Marvel stuff they talked about, they're going to have a couple different game modes, like one's a tower defense and one's going to be like a dungeon crawler.
Right.
With their characters. And, you know, you can mix and match everything that you have. So Mickey Mouse could be in a level with Iron Man together, holding a lightsaber.
See, no, that's cool.
That is cool.
Very cool, actually. I'm interested. I'm interested.
I can hear you clicking on it right now.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
So, as we segue back to Spider-Man, have you read The Amazing Spider-Man number one yet?
I have.
Okay, I have not read it. I'm read it yet? Read it yet. Not read it like the website, but it's in my grubby little hand, and I plan to read it after we're done here tonight. So, maybe we'll talk about that in the next episode, because I really want to talk about it.
Okay.
See if it lives up to it. Because my RD came over earlier, one of our new writers, and he brought over the Amazing Spider-Man 2 video game.
Right.
He just bought it yesterday, and he's almost beat it already.
Really?
So, yeah, he's going to be doing a review on it, and when he's done with it, I'm going to be borrowing it from him, and I'll be able to give my 2 cents on it, I guess, but I don't know. Because I did like the last Amazing Spider-Man game. It was a lot of fun.
Right.
All the cool costumes and the different... I like the storyline of it, you know?
Right.
All the characters they can throw into it that are not in the movie type of deal, you know?
Right, right.
But the thing about it, the game, I just played the first, like, 10 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. It's not really the movie Spider-Man, because it's not the same. It's not Andrew Garfield. It's not his likeness. It's not his voice. It's not any of that. So yeah, we'll get back to Amazing Spider-Man after I get my read-through, and we'll see if it's worth shitting on or not. And I'm sure you already have your opinion, but just don't ruin it yet.
Yeah, I do know that, just a heads up to anybody who hasn't read it, which I think that's not going to be possible, because I think that they sold like 500,000 copies of the new number one. But anyways...
Well,
yeah.
Already?
Yeah, they had pre-orders, yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah, but one of our writers is actually has submitted a review to be edited, and I'm probably going to have it posted soon, but I don't want to have it up there until at least after Free Comic Book Day.
That's a good point. Yeah, let's do that, because Free Comic Book Day is the Saturday. Saturday the 3rd. It's the first Saturday of every May.
At this point of the recording, it is today, so it's 3 days out for us here. But probably by the time it gets released, it'll be either two or, you know, tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. So, what are your plans? I know what my plans will be. I will be working a media event for Comic Palooza at the Palladium, the Santikos Palladium. Bedrock City will be there giving away free comic books. and it's going to be a lot of fun.
See, that's cool. It's a lot more exciting than mine, I suppose. It's a lot more eventful, I suppose. You're actually going to be involved with an event.
Yes,
I won't.
Exactly.
Be. Yeah. So if anybody is going to be there, go up and say hi to Kerry. Go up to him and say, you know, that guy, John Michael, he sounds really fucking weird. And maybe he'll give you something, like a hug.
Maybe.
No, I won't be doing anything that eventful. I'll actually be going through Free Comic Book Day as a fan of comics. Now, there's a couple of places. I do want to drop their names, actually, because...
Well, make sure you pick them back up after you're done.
I will. I will. I'll brush them off and put them back, you know, but in the right place. Now, there's a couple of comic book stores that actually are doing some sales. I don't want to, and I'm not endorsing these people. I'm just going as a fan. So anybody out there listening, I'm not endorsing any comic book shop unless you're going to be endorsing Metal Geeks. Okay? Make that clear. So secondly, I will be going to the grand opening of Coliseum of Comics on Bruce B. Downs in Tampa. Their grand opening is actually on Free Comic Book Day. And I'm very excited about that because I don't know what to expect. But what I do expect after Free Comic Book Day is I'll be going there to pick up my subs. You know, that's, well, maybe not my subs, but new issues, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a subscription.
What's his word, sub? What do you mean by subs?
Oh, they turn your comic book into a sub. You can eat it.
Oh, cool.
No.
As long as it has no lettuce, I'll be good.
No, a subscription. It's just a short, geeky term for sub, you know, subscription.
Oh, I thought it was like subliminal, but okay.
No. No, but I don't know what kind of discounts they're going to have, you know, and I don't want to, you know, speak on behalf of them, so I don't want to, you know, put anything out there like that. But I'll be going there. I don't think they have anything special going on other than the fact they're opening up their store that day. But I'll be going there, and then I'll be going down to Green Shift.
South Park?
Green Shift Comics. So I'm basically going to be store hopping all day. Green Shift Comics down on Hillsboro in Tampa. I'll be going in there. They have got some awesome sales, and it's not just for Free Comic Book Day, too. The entire month of May, they have an amazing sale. So if you go onto their website or just Google Green Shift Comics Tampa, sign up for the newsletter, they'll tell you what their sales are. Then Demolition Comics, which is another local comic book store here. I just want to pop in there, see what they got going on. And
now you got me wanting to go to a couple of different stores before, you know, I have to be at my event.
Well,
it sounds like a lot of fun.
I mean, that's what I did last year, and it was fun. I think it's going to be kind of like a tradition for me for the rest of my life, actually. So, you know, if by chance there is a little JM Metal Geek or Geekette that is born into my life, that'll be a tradition that we do.
And I'm looking at you know, the comic books that are going to be released, and I see about three or four that I really, really want. I definitely want that Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The Scotty Young that he's written.
The Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. Now, there is an online PDF file for free if you go on, I think it's his website. You can actually download the first, like, five pages.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, what scares me about this Guardians of the Galaxy one, it's written by Bendis, Brian Michael Bendis, who I love.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody knows that. But it's also written by Dan Slott, and we just talked about him. So,
well, you know what? Let me say
maybe it's just a little side story that he wrote.
Yeah, everything's a side story that guy writes.
And I also really, really want the Tick.
Oh, right.
I am a huge Tick nerd.
You know, I have to look over that list again because I don't think that I've really been paying attention to the actual free comic books that are going to be given. I just like the whole idea that there's, you know, look, I normally go to these places by myself and I normally spark up conversations.
Yeah.
So it's fun for me because I get to engage with people who are brand new into the comic book. So it wasn't too long ago for me that I wasn't reading comics, you know? and Avengers 2 years ago got me back into it. Now, it's fun for me because I like to talk to people, be like, you know, well, what kind of things do you like? You know, and that's, you know, good for me to meet people. But actually, there's the last store that I'm going to be going to is called Culture and Thrills in Tampa.
Culture and Thrills?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, the coolest thing about it is I was just randomly shopping there one day, and the guy that was there looked familiar to me, and I didn't plug it in until I was talking to him like up close, because he's actually the person who showed me the Mike Mignola black and white Batman figure.
Oh yeah.
Or statue. And I was talking to him, I was like, wait a second. You know, I think I actually knew Jamie from, you know, I was like, do you know who Jamie is? He was like, yeah. And I'm like, he's the drummer from The Absence, right? And he was like, no. I said, you sure? He said, yeah, I'm pretty sure, because I'm Jamie. So he's actually the vocalist from The Absence, and I didn't know that. Wow. He was actually there. And, you know, we were talking before he went on tour, I suppose.
We need to get him on the show.
Yeah, we've actually already discussed it, and it's a matter of him. He actually, you know, unfortunately, metal bands don't make a lot of money. You know, so he works a lot too.
Yes, they were just here on tour in Houston a few weeks ago, and I missed him.
Yeah. Well, he's. I'm hoping that I run into him while he's there, and I'll actually, you know, tell him to listen to this episode because I gave his store a shout out, and I don't want anything from it. I just want you guys to know that, you know, that we want to have Metal Geek Jamie from The Absence come on.
And it's just proof again that metal and geekery can go hand in hand, because on the episode with Larry Roberts from November's Doom, he goes into depth about owning a comic book store about 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, so he actually owned one. I remember him.
Yeah.
I remember him talking about it. He hinted at it when I was on the show, but I didn't really go into much more conversation about it. So he actually owned one.
He did, indeed.
Money pit, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah, at the time. How long ago was it?
I think it was like late 90s.
Mm.
So
yeah, he was on the cusp of it, because that's when they kind of started getting shitty again.
Yeah. So, I mean, he got out at a good time, but
yeah.
it's all, hopefully the, you know, it goes through ups and downs, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be hitting a downturn pretty soon.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely dead on that.
But we won't talk about that now. We're not.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
We're not marketing strategists or anything like that.
What are you talking about?
Oh yeah, maybe we are.
I'm a geek on Wall Street.
So I guess the last thing I wanted to mention, wanted to bring up, this is something that just happened this morning, is to say a few words about, you know, fallen actor, of course. Bob Hoskins passed away. He was young, too, 71. But he had, got Parkinson's disease, and he, from the article I read, he died from complications of pneumonia. His body couldn't handle it.
That actually happens a lot with people who have Parkinson's and Alzheimer's.
That's how my mom, she was really weak from, she had, my mom, this is a little very personal, but my mom had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason she passed away was not because of the cancer really, but it was her body couldn't fight off a sickness.
Right.
So, you know, it weakens everything on your body. But,
fuck
you
cancer.
Know, exactly. It totally, man. You know, a little tribute to Bob Hoskins. Everybody go pull out their copy of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which is one of my top five movies of all time, I got to say. And, you know, pay a little tribute to some Eddie Valiant, man.
He was also in the Mario Brothers movie.
Let's not go there.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was in he was in Hook. He was Shmi.
Hook, exactly. He's been in a lot of, you know, really great movies. He was a good, you know, character actor.
I remember him being, was it Shmi, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Shmi.
Shmi, that's it.
From the Robin Williams version, right?
Yeah. I love that one, man.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
I love seeing Robin Williams in tights.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in again.
It's crazy. I didn't even realize how old he was.
Who's that?
I mean, I know that some people, it's young for 71-year-olds, but I didn't realize he was 71.
Yeah.
Tales from the Crypt. He was in that. He was in Forgotten Toys. He was also in Spice World.
I don't know about that one.
I'm looking at IMDb.
Not that I'm going to admit to.
I'm seeing what else he was in. Son of the Mask.
Oh, yeah, let's forget that one, too.
Yeah, he was in some really bad movies.
But
Pinocchio, he was Geppetto.
But he was in some really good movies, too.
Yep.
That's all that matters.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? There you go.
Indeed.
He was from England. Okay.
Yeah, he was a British actor. And you never knew it from, you know, the first time I ever saw him as a kid was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So,
yeah.
You know, I never knew he was a British guy. Until, you know, you saw him in an interview or something and he talked in his normal accent, you're like, what? Really?
Like, who in the hell is that guy?
Yeah, everybody go pull out their, you know, what's your favorite Bob Hoskins movie? It doesn't have to be Roger Rabbit. It can be whatever you want. It could be Mario Brothers if you really want to go there.
Mm.
If you want to put yourself through that.
Godspeed, everyone.
So, let's wrap it up on that somber note. As we said before, you can find us on the internet. Right now, it's www.metalgeekspodcast.com. Coming soon, it will be a different address.
Yep.
You can find us on Instagram, Metal Geeks Podcast, and Twitter is at Metal Geeks.
Instagram?
I just said Instagram.
Oh, sorry. Twitter, at Metal Geeks.
Just said Twitter.
Oh, okay.
I guess you weren't paying attention at all, were you?
No, I'm just trying to reiterate that we're on a bunch of different social feeds.
Go to Facebook. You can. Facebook has actually been picking up a lot.
So. Yeah, it really has. It really has.
It's fun to interact with people. I know the qualms about, you know, Facebooking and all that kind of stuff right now and not reaching your audience, but doesn't matter. Find us on there. Like us there. Talk to us. You know, feedback is what we live for, man. And if you like the show, you can leave some feedback on iTunes as you're downloading the new episode of the show. When you subscribe there, leave some feedback.
And hell, you know, the one thing that the podcast does a lot is talk about, like, recommendations of what to read and
yeah,
what to listen to and stuff. You know, send us some recommendations.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. We'll do a whole episode about people sending us recommendations of what they want us to listen to or watch or read or eat.
Unless you're a blogger for our site, don't. You know, don't, you can tell us privately.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, like, hey, you know, like, so-and-so on Facebook said to read this, you know, I wanted to address it because I did take the time to read it. So go ahead.
And if you are in Comic Palooza in Houston on May 23rd to the 26th, I will be doing another panel about podcasting. We did Podcasting 101 last year. This year, we're calling it Podcasting 102.
Yeah, that's cool.
Podcast Harder.
Yeah, nice.
On the board, panelists are going to include myself. Hopefully, we're going to have you Skype in, maybe. We're going to have to talk about that.
Okay.
And we'll have James and Angry Tony from the Thoroughly Nerd Podcast, JD from Two Ninjas One Podcast, another local guy called Rob Zip. He has a show called the Rob Zip and Friend Podcast, and it's just a drunken podcast where he just talks to people randomly. And then we're going to have both Steve and Chris Sully from the Nerd Foo Podcast on board.
Oh, right on. That's cool.
You know what's interesting? I just so I ran into these, you know, talked to these guys this morning. They have another – they're from Houston, actually. They have a show called The Comical Podcast. You can find them on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. It's COMIC and then AL, so – Their whole show is about comic books, reviews and opinions and all that kind of stuff. I listened to one of them today, and you know, they try to inject a lot of humor into it, so that's where the comical comes from. But the guy that I was talking to said, "Hey, weren't you on the panel last year at Comicpalooza for podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys started in the show back in January. So it's very cool to be involved in something where you influence people to start up their own show, because there's so much room out there for different podcasts. There's, you know, there's so many different styles that I even listen to. It's just cool to be, for people to look up at you and say, hey, I want to do what these guys are doing, you know?
You know, and that's what we are doing is something we've both been doing for 10 years.
Yep.
And, you know, when we first started, think about it on the realm of the radio waves. When radio first started, it was just regular talk radio on a really bad AM frequency. Those people were the ground, the foundation to inspire people to get better frequencies, to figure out better shows, better content, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera. Podcasting is also a branch of that. But the one thing that eliminates from the radio world is, you know, this is all DIY. You know, this is everything we do is all of ourself, you know. And that, I think that's one of the things that's coolest about podcasting. And I, you know, it's one of those things where Kevin Smith even says it.
I was about to say, Kevin Smith says this stuff all the time. All you have to do is have a friend and a microphone, you can have your own podcast.
Yeah, a buddy of mine actually just contacted me. I'm going to tell you who he is. His name is John Roseland. He's a buddy of mine. I've gone to Screamfest with him, and, you know, we met Tom Savini together, and we did a lot of cool stuff together, and he just said that he wants to start a small podcast, and he's got this House of Tortured Souls horror fan page that he has on Facebook. He's a huge horror movie fan, and, you know, it's one of those things where, like, he wants to actually start it up, and he contacted me saying, you know, how can you help me? You know, I've never done anything like this before. How can you help me? You know, that is awesome. It's inspiring.
You know how we can help them. This is something that we've been talking about behind the scenes, is once the new website is up and the blog is going full steam ahead,
yeah,
we might be bringing some other podcasts on board.
Yeah, and we've got space to be able to host it ourselves. So.
Yep, and we have a couple of guys on our team that have done podcasts before that we're going to give them open rein to do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
So I think we have an exciting future in store for us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really pumped about it. But, man, I can't wait to talk to you about this whole Skype thing now that you just kind of, like, dropped on me.
You're right.
Yeah.
I was going to. What?
It was like you dropped that information on me in the middle of the show. I'm like, what? I can't wait to talk about it. It's now. But
so
the panel thing,
we have a great future ahead, and you know what our next episode is going to be?
Well, we're going to be discussing Spider-Man and some evil Mickey shit.
That's right, the dark side of Disney, and our review of both Amazing Spider-Man the comic and Amazing Spider-Man 2 the movie.
Yes.
So I think let's put a bow on it and call it an evening.
We could put ourselves back in the packaging. That would be kind of weird.
Or just put your dick in a box. That's good enough.
Well, sorry, but I need to use a TARDIS.
I'm not even going to... Okay. Yeah. I'm not even going there.
There you go. Okay.
Buddy.
You got the point. No, I'm just kidding.
We're not going there, guy.
Yeah, guy.
What's up there, buddy?
Buddy.
So, thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another late night, you know...
Shenanigans.
Nonsensical episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast.
Yeah.
I have been your host, Kerry G.
And I have been your rambling, nonsensical geek jester of the show, JM Metal Geek.
So what do we say to everybody until the next time?
Subscribe.
What else do we say?
Like our show on Facebook.
What else do we say?
Follow us on Twitter. No.
What else do we say?
Oh, keep it geeky.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.